When the Twin Towers in New York City fell on 9/11, one of the first questions many people asked was, how could God let this happen? Has God abandoned America? Well, stay tuned for John MacArthur's compelling answer next on Grace to You. You know, whether it's an act of terrorism, catastrophic natural disasters, a devastating financial collapse, or a general crumbling of America's moral foundation, it's easy to wonder if this nation is feeling the effects of God's wrath. So what do you think? Has God turned his back on the United States of America? And if so, if God is punishing this nation, how should you respond? We'll consider that today on Grace to You as John MacArthur follows up his study, Without Excuse, a series in Romans chapter 2, with a message from the first chapter of Romans showing you what a society will look like when God turns his back on it. The title of John's message, When God Abandons a Nation. With this sobering lesson, here now is John MacArthur.
Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18 and running through the end of this chapter. This section is about the wrath of God. Now, there are a number of different aspects to the wrath of God. But the wrath that is presented in this passage is the wrath of abandonment. It is that wrath exhibited by God when he turns his back on a society. It's a frightening thing to think about that. Frightening thing to think that you might be abandoned by God, that the opportunity for salvation is past, that the day of grace is over. And just what is this abandoning act on God's part? It is the removal of restraining grace. It is when God lets go and turns a society over to its own sinful freedoms and the results of those freedoms. No scripture more directly confronts this abandonment and its consequences than Romans 1 does. Here is the most graphic and the most comprehensive discussion of what it means to be abandoned by God, and it is the best passage that I know of to explain the moral chaos and the confusion that we experience in our own nation at this very time. God's wrath is already at work in our culture. We're not waiting for it. We are currently experiencing it. Now, I want you to notice the wrath of abandonment in its progression. This will help you to understand why I say we're experiencing it not only in America, but in the world, and particularly in the Western world today. Look at verse 24. When the wrath of abandonment goes into action, this wrath, which is defined for us as God giving them over, follows three steps. It follows three sequential steps. You notice, therefore, and that, of course, connects it to the prior passage. The prior passage has as its leading statement, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. And then there are a number of statements about why the wrath of God is revealed, because the truth is suppressed, because that which is known of God is rejected, etc., etc. And then in verse 24, you come back to what that wrath is, therefore, God gave them over. And first of all, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. The first indication in a society of the wrath of abandonment is sexual immorality. Sexual immorality. When a society becomes pornographic, when the general character of a society can be seen to be immoral, this wrath is in effect. When man is abandoned by God, when a society is abandoned by God, it operates only out of the passions of its own impure heart. It operates in the lusts of the heart, leading to impurity. The heart is wretched. The heart is immoral. And the body follows. So you see that in verse 24. First, the lusts dominate the heart, leading to impurity, and the bodies follow in most dishonorable ways. The heart is wicked and unrestrained, and the body follows, and you have a pornographic culture. That's just step one. So you look at a society and ask, is it driven by sexual immorality? Is it filled with lust in the heart, leading to impurity, and the body follows in dishonorable behavior? The answer for our own world and our own society is yes. Step two is in verse 26. For this reason, God gave them over, here's the second step, to degrading passions. Now we're not just talking about passions, we've added degrading. We're going down. There is a greater debauchery here. The degrading passions can be defined as gross affections, vile desires, perversion, or even inversion. And here it is defined. Their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. Plain and simple, lesbianism, homosexuality. And the Holy Spirit first in this passage refers to the degradation of women because they are usually the last to be affected in the decay of morals because they have a mothering instinct and a protective instinct over their own children. But when the wrath of abandonment is in force, even the women fall to the degrading passions. And in our culture, the lesbian movement has been vocal and relentless and passionate and fierce and even violent. Proof that absolutely all virtue is gone. And verse 27 adds, in the same way also the men abandon the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And there's a little slip in of the consequential wrath. What is the due penalty of their error that they receive venereal disease, AIDS? When you see a society that is pornographic, that is into sexual immorality, fornication, adultery, as a way of life, as a dominant way of life, which is not only in existence, but approved and exalted in every way in the media, you know the wrath of abandonment is in operation. And then, when a society also exalts homosexuality, lesbianism, and male homosexuality or sodomy, you know that it is even sinking deeper. But there's a third step. And the third step is in verse 28. Just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, here's the third step. God gave them over to a depraved mind. First, the heart is rotten, and the body follows. And then the mind goes. What is a depraved mind? Well, the word literally means tested and found useless, disqualified for its intended purpose, a non-functioning mind. Reasoning is so corrupted that it is crippled. The faculty, the intellectual faculty can no longer function. The moral law of God written in the heart has been literally stomped and replaced with cultural immorality. The conscience cannot function. And so, it says in verse 28, they do the things which are not proper. And what flows out of this pornographic, homosexual, depraved culture? All evil, verse 29, all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil. They even come up with new forms of evil. Disobedient to parents. Without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And that's just a partial list. It's like somebody opened the sewer of sin and let it run through society. And although they know the ordinance of God, it's written on the heart, Romans 2. It's written on the pages of Scripture. And they also know that those who practice such things are worthy of death. They not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. They know it's wrong. They know the consequences. They do it anyway, and they give hearty approval to others who do it. You look at the society in this country and you ask yourself, is this a pornographic, homosexual, depraved society manifesting all these characteristics or not? The answer is unmistakably clear. The media, television, the music industry, radio, magazines, features the people who are the purveyors of this filth as the cultural heroes and icons. Movie people, television people, music people, etc. This stuff is even advocated across this country in educational institutions, particularly universities, are literal hotbeds for the advocacy of all of this kind of iniquity. This is what happens when God abandons a society. I look at our society and I say, this is it. And that then brings us to the question of the text. Why does God do it? Why does God abandon a society? Let's go back to verse 18. I'm going to show you a sequence starting in verse 18 that has led us to this. Now, let me just kind of unpack these verses, verse 18 down through verse 23, by giving you four specific sequential reasons for the wrath of God. Number one, revelation. Number one, revelation. Men have been given the truth. Verse 18 says, we suppress the truth. Verse 19 then describes the source of that. That which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them through reason and the moral law written in the heart. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they're without excuse. They are without excuse because it is so obvious that a creation has to have a creator, a design has to have a designer. God has inlaid the evidence of spiritual and moral truth and of His own existence and His greatness and His power in the very fabric of man's being. We talk about our five senses, but we have more working in us than just five physical senses. We have two spiritual senses. Reason is one and morality is another. These are so strong within us that they would lead us to God as a creator, a powerful creator. They would lead us to God as a lawgiver and therefore a judge if we just followed what is implanted in our hearts. In fact, it is so embedded in us, the end of verse 20, that all of us are without excuse. The truth is there. It's in the conscience, it's in the reason that takes you to God, and it's in the revelation of Scripture. And sinners are without excuse because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them in creating them the way He did. And so, looking at the creation, you see His invisible attributes, eternal power, divine nature, clearly, and you have no excuse. Revelation, that's the first thing. Second word in this progression, rejection. Men have turned from the truth. Verse 21, even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And though man finds God in reason, he rejects Him. Finds God in the moral law and conscience, he rejects Him. Is exposed to the truth of God in Scripture, he rejects. He suppresses the truth under his iniquities because he loves darkness rather than light. And he plunges downward, believing that he can live his life any way he wants without any consequence at all. And leaving himself, therefore, under divine judgment of the severest kind. And so we look at a society today, particularly here in America and in the Western world, so amazingly influenced by the gospel. And we see a people who do not honor God. Go back to verse 21. They do not honor Him as God. They do not give thanks. That is to say, they do not thank Him for being the source of everything they have. Man's problem is not that he can't find God. Man's problem is not that he can't recognize God. Man's problem is not that he can't find the truth or recognize the truth. It is that he will not. And it's back to John 3 again. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They don't want to honor God. To honor God would then cause them to be accountable to Him and to His law, and therefore under His judgment. Man would rather live without God in view at all. Go back to verse 21. Because though they knew God, they didn't honor Him as God or give thanks. And we're talking collectively about a society here. But they became empty in their speculations, futile, empty human ideas, useless. And as I said, into that vacuum is sucked darkness. And the end of verse 21 says, their foolish heart was darkened. They wouldn't know, and now they couldn't know. The darkness dominated. Wrath came because of revelation, and it comes again and again and again and again to societies throughout all of human history because they will not acknowledge God who has revealed Himself. And so you have revelation followed by rejection. And when there comes rejection, the light goes out, the darkness comes, and a third step follows, rationalization. Rationalization. This, if it weren't so sad, would be funny. Verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools. The idiocy of verse 21 is exacerbated in verse 22. Their darkness is so profound that they can't assess their true condition. So they profess to be wise. This is no more ridiculous, no more absurd, no more bizarre than giving yourself a PhD when you are a fool. Congratulating yourself for your wisdom and knowledge and insight and achievement when your heart is black and shut out completely of true knowledge. And that leads to a fourth element, religion. Religion. This is so interesting. Verse 23, they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. How ridiculous. Religion. Men create their own gods to accommodate their own useless ideas. You might think that religion is man at his highest. Let me tell you, religion is man at his lowest. False religion is man at the bottom. At the bottom. It's man who has gone away from the truth of God, and the further he goes, the more he descends into satanic false religion. Religion is not man at his highest. It is man at his absolute lowest. This is the final straw. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. They kept worshiping. They developed a religion, but they worshiped something of their own creation or a creation of God, an animal, a fish, a star, a constellation, or an idol, rather than the Creator. Verse 28 says it again, they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer. We've rejected God. He gave us revelation, we rejected it. We rationalize it and call ourselves an elite, educated, advanced culture. And we invent religion as if it's an indicator of how high we have ascended, when the fact of the matter is we're going down at warp speed. We have abandoned God, and God has returned the favor. And so we are under His wrath. That brings the question, is there any hope? Is there any hope for this country, for any society in this condition? Well, all I can say is that there is a word of hope in Psalm 81. Let's look at verse 11. But my people did not listen to my voice, and Israel did not obey me. So, here's the same language. I gave them over to the stubbornness of their heart to walk in their own devices. That's Romans 1. This happened to Israel. But verse 13, here is a plaintive cry from the heart of God. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. And I love verse 16. And I would feed you with the finest of the wheat and with honey from the rock. I would satisfy you. This is a plaintive cry from God who says, oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would turn from abandoning them, from giving them over to their own sinful choices, to defending them and protecting them and punishing their enemies. And I would feed them with the finest of the wheat and with honey from the rock. I would satisfy them. The key, listen to me, walk in my ways. The only hope for this or any other society is to hear the word of the Lord and obey it.
John MacArthur there on today's Grace to You, helping you see the evidence of God's judgment on America and really on any people who reject their Creator. John has called the lesson, When God Abandons a Nation. John, it seems the more we come to understand just how wicked mankind is at the heart, the more God's wrath makes sense. The idea that somehow His anger is undeserved couldn't be further from the truth.
Oh, God is a holy God, and God is perfectly just, absolutely just. Always does right. And God's anger is therefore just, and God's punishment is therefore just. There is no question about the character of God, and neither is there any question about the sinful character of man. If we live lives that deny God His rightful place, that reject the truth about him and the gospel, we will experience a just punishment. This can be articulated many ways in the Bible, and it is. Perhaps none is more powerful than the way Paul talks about this in Romans 1. And along that line, I would love to send you a free copy of The Message from Today, When God Abandons a Nation. And that would be to anyone who asks. That's right, anyone. Today you heard 20 minutes of it, but it goes on for an hour, When God Abandons a Nation. I think you'll benefit from hearing the entire message. It's one of the most provocative and powerful and useful ones I've given in all the years of my ministry. The message from Romans 1 answers lots of questions that you're asking. So if you want a free copy of When God Abandons a Nation on CD, let us know today and we'll send it to you with our compliments.
Is there hope for a nation God abandons? What should Christians do to help bring about change? Or once judgment starts, does evangelism have any effect? This message from Romans chapter 1 answers those and many other questions that you probably have had about divine judgment, whether on America, another nation, or on an individual. To pick up your free copy of the study, When God Abandons a Nation, write or call us today. Our mailing address is Grace to You, Post Office Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412, or send an email to letters@gty.org. Please include your name, complete mailing address, and the call letters of the station that you're listening to right now, or call the toll-free number 1-800-55-GRACE. And don't forget, today is the last day that you can take advantage of a 20% off discount of the regular price of virtually every item that we have in our resource. Let me suggest that you get a copy, if you don't already have one, of the MacArthur Study Bible. You'll find that an unbeatable price, especially if you order today. Several editions to choose from, including leather, and remember, shipping is always free. To order the Study Bible or one of John's books or one of his New Testament commentaries, order today and save 20%. Call 1-800-55-GRACE or order online at gty.org. Again, the sale ends today. Now again, when you get in touch, remember to request the message called A Nation Abandoned by God. It's in the CD format. It is yours free of charge for the asking. And now, for John MacArthur, our teacher, and the entire staff, I'm Carl Miller wishing you a great weekend and reminding you to watch Grace to You Television Sundays on DirecTV Channel 378. You can also watch online at gty.org. And then join us on Monday for another half hour of Unleashing God's Truth, one verse at a time, here on Grace to You. As you worship this weekend, please consider this question: what makes for a healthy church? And then explore the same question with John MacArthur on Monday here on Grace to You.